back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Laramie, I feel like anybody outside of Houston, a casual football fan, says, Bobby who? Like, I feel like a lot of people don't know who Bobby Slowik is. I had a chance to talk with him during training camp. I was kind of didn't know where I stood with him, and I was kind of wild in our conversation. Can you kind of describe your offensive coordinator now that you're kind of a quarter away into the season and what he brings to your unit?
He's another guy that's behind the scenes, but he's a mastermind. He be dialing it up. He really does. He's in my opinion.
Yeah.
He really does. Like, he'd be dialing it up. In my opinion, I think he's one of the top OCs in the NFL.
That's left tackle Laramie Tunsil on a podcast with the NFL Network's, formerly CSN Houston's, James Palmer, saying that Bobby Slowik is a mastermind and one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL. And Sean,
the Carolina game.
This is before the game.
Okay.
And it's really funny to see what happened on that. Whenever it was posted, a bunch of people were retweeting the video and saying, nah, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Bobby Slowik is just not a good offensive coordinator. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, saying that so that nobody hires him away. And then a couple of days and one game against a formerly winless team later, everyone's out to go get Bobby Slowik. Including perhaps CJ Stroud. Decide for yourself here in a long extended answer by CJ Stroud. If he's calling out Bobby Slowik and the offense. Here's the quarterback of the Texans.
I mean, you can point the finger everywhere, but I mean, me personally, I point the thumb. I'm not saying that I'm playing terrible, but I'm not making the plays I want to make. And sometimes, I mean, it's just I have to take what's there. A lot of teams are being smart and playing back. And even when I do take the check down, and this team was knocking it down. And I thought we could have got some first from that. But I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, I feel like the talent we have, man, we got to use it. And we got to, like, be explosive like we want to be. And that starts up front running the ball. I think those guys did a good job there. But on top of that, we got to take some shots. We got to be more explosive and do some things down the field. We can't just let people dictate what we do just because we're not throwing the ball short. And, I mean, that's me getting more trust from the coaches and the guys getting their depth in their routes. And it's a whole team thing. But, man, I definitely think we have the talent to be explosive. And I think we've shown, man, we're, if not a top five offense, top 10 offense, I mean, we've showed it and we can do it. We just, like, got to go out there and call it and run it and execute. So, I mean, I feel like that's why we haven't been consistent. Just too many nickel and taking the ball short and not having enough explosives. And it's hard to play on third down, too. So, but I think Bobby's doing a great job calling it, trying to be better with us and getting used to how we like calls and things like that. So hopefully, I mean, we start being a little more explosive.
It's interesting to hear him at the very end of that say, shout out to Bobby Slowik and that he thinks that the offense is doing the right thing. But along the way, in that very long answer, Stroud said, we have the talent. We got to use it. We actually have to take some shots to do some things downfield. We have the talent. We're a top five offense, a top 10 defense. I need to earn more trust from the offensive coordinator. But at the very end, he's saying, but shout out to Bobby Slowik. A little bit later in the press conference, Stroud was asked a follow-up. And if his criticisms of the Texans' lack of explosiveness, lack of taking shots, was him pointing the finger, not the thumb, at Bobby Slowik.
I'm not talking about Bobby. I'm not talking about anybody specific. I'm just saying as a whole offense, to reward our defense for getting stops and things like that, we have to be explosive and make plays. You can't live on third down. And, I mean, it's unfortunate that we had to take a L today, but we'll learn from this.
So I understand and agree with some criticism of Bobby Slowik. Stroud only threw two passes that traveled 20 or more yards. Both of them were incomplete. The play that he threw down the left sideline to Noah Brown, the 31-yard gain, came off a pass that was deflected by a Panthers defensive back. So 31 of Stroud's 140 passing yards came on that weird play. 17 of his 24 passes traveled less than 10 yards. And as Stroud said, some of them were knocked down at the line of scrimmage because defenses are just dropping a ton of guys back in coverage and are daring Stroud to beat them. He's thinking, perhaps over-processing. He's a rookie. Slumps like this are to be expected. Is that at the feet of Bobby Slowick? I think when you look at the motions that Tank Dell's running, one of which may have had a role in the delay of game that ultimately cost the Texans a chance at least a field goal attempt in a game that they ultimately lost by 2 points, a game that they were leading at 1 point down the stretch by 1 point. You can point at that. And I get Bobby Slowick frustration, but I also feel like the way that Stroud is talking about what he wants out of the offense is a little bit simplistic. It does kind of sound like something someone who plays Madden would say. We got to be more explosive. Well, yeah. Do you have to call more shot plays? It's hard to set up shot plays. A lot of shot plays come as a result of play action.
No, just run four verts. Come on.
Sean, can you run four verts with this offensive line?
No, but that's when CJ Stroud needs to sprint backwards like 20 yards and maybe to the right a little bit and then launch it.
That's what you do in Madden.
Yes. Have hit Andrew Beck on the one in the middle, you know?
This is not me criticizing Stroud for that opinion. I just think it's rather simplistic to say we need to be more explosive. We need to take more shots. Because I think there are some limitations with this offense that prevent them from doing that. I'd specifically point to the offensive line. The offensive line sucked yesterday. I know that they had 2 sacks allowed. That's it. I know Jarrett Patterson went down. But watching Titus Howard try to do pull blocks is a disaster every single time. And that's a factor in the running game. Shaq Mason got called for an illegal man downfield on a play that was 20 yards downfield. They actually did have another long completion. And Shaq Mason, what are you doing, man? Stepping downfield. You're a veteran offensive lineman. You're not a rookie. You know, if that was Juice Scruggs, who hasn't played yet, or Patterson, I would actually get it. But Mason is doing that. And honestly, it's impressive that the Texans even averaged 3.7 yards a carry. It was largely the result of Herculean efforts by the running backs. They were making some really, I thought, impressive jukes and deeks. It wasn't just Damian Pierce, Devin Singletary, Mike Boone. Both of those guys had, I thought, some impressive highlight caliber runs, but the offensive line was giving them no help. So you want to be explosive and you want to take shots. Well, you have to have a good offensive line to do that. But I empathize with Slowick frustration, but I'm going to go back to what I said at the top of the show. The biggest reason for the loss in a game where the Texans shot themselves in the foot with 10 penalties to the tune of 70 yards, the combination of the delay of game, which is always on the quarterback, always on the quarterback. There's only one person who is on the field who can control whether or not an offense gets up to the line of scrimmage in time. It is the quarterback. It's not the coach. It's not the coordinator. Those two can complicate it. If you're late getting a play call in, if you're indecisive, that can be a factor. But we very often blame delays on the coach and on the coordinator when we should on the quarterback. And if he knew that play was going to have motion, guess what they should have done? They should have gotten to the line of scrimmage more quickly. So you go from a 3rd and 5 to a 3rd and 10. You don't get the 3rd and 10. And then at the 40-yard line, when Kaimi Fairbairn's career long for a field goal is 61, when he hit a 56-yard field goal last year, when the league success rate on 50-plus yard field goals is 72%, and when he was 6 of 6 last year from 50-plus, 24 for 35 in his career from 50-plus, why are you not using your kicker, who has been an asset to your team for over a half decade? He's been here a while. It's weird to think that Kyahmi Fairbairn's been here as long as he's been, but he's been here a while. The Texans should know what their kicker can do. And we've seen this a couple of times the last 2 years where they get conservative with the actual kicker. And I don't get why people don't get worked up about this in the way that I do. If you have a kicker who can kick the football in a game called football, let him use his foot to hit the ball. And maybe, I don't know, in a game where points were at a premium, score some more. Field position? Okay. The Texans' defense was doing a pretty good job. It had 6 sacks, 9 tackles for a loss. Did Bryce Young have his best game? Yeah. I don't think the Texans' defense was a disaster in this game by any means, though. They had a goal line stand. When your defense is playing well, you have the luxury of trying to kick a long field goal. You should not be so gun-shy to the possibility of a missed field goal when your guy is actually capable of doing it. Was it more than a 50% proposition that he'd make it? I would think so, given that Cam Johnson hit a 74 effing yard punt in this game, going the same direction. I don't know what the wind was. I'm just saying that one kick from the right to the left on the TV, it went 74 effing yards. Yeah, it's a punt. But generally, kicking the ball off a tee goes a little bit further than when you punt it. Just a thought. That's where I think the game was lost. I understand frustrations with Bobby Slowik, but I don't think the sky is falling. And I do think it's rather simplistic to say you just need to be more explosive and take more shots down the field. It's not to say Bobby Slowik is immune from fault. I think it's a little bit simplistic, including Stroud's criticism of Slowik there. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. It's the number to text in. The Texans did have a same old Texans kind of loss yesterday, and man, they just make themselves so easy to make fun of. You'll find out another way that they did that next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
To the city. Helped him work out there on campus. And here Dell's getting into the ground game. What a move! A couple of nice moves for the speedster out of the University of Houston, Tank Dell. Man.
Some folks on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, suggested that CJ Stroud just wants to throw the ball far to his guy, Tank Dell. I'm not opposed to the occasional shot play, but I think that more shot plays for the Texans doesn't mean that this thing would have opened up because they're sending a lot of guys back in coverage. It's very simplistic to say just throw the ball down the field. Because generally in the NFL, it's hard to make completions on passes like that. But they do have to find some sort of answer to what these teams are doing, which is throwing a million guys back in coverage, which is having your middle linebacker, Frankie Tutu for the Panthers, had a really good game, sitting, hanging around, spying the quarterback, waiting for a throw over the middle, which Stroud is very good at to potentially deflect up into the air. He had two. There were 3 passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage. I'd like to see more touches for Dell, though. Just 6 touches for all that running that he's doing in motion. 3 carries, 3 receptions. I'd like a little bit more. But some of the criticisms of Bobby Slowik, and we're getting it on the text line too. The most questionable call, writes a texter, was 3rd and 20. You run a freaking screen with Dalton Schultz. I'm no offensive guru, but I have played Madden. Oh boy. And that call didn't make sense. But it's 3rd and 20. No call makes sense. If you throw a shot play down the field, there's a chance it could end up being a punt. I suppose that's not the end of the world. You're going for it. You're being aggressive on 3rd down, but you never know what's going to happen on an interception. The Texans make it easy. This was a same old Texans kind of loss. They're coming off the bye week against a team that had yet to win a game. It has a rookie quarterback that hadn't played well. Somebody else, not Frank Reich, is calling plays. It's a team that whenever they're trailing in the fourth quarter since 2015, they were 0-57. Now it's, I think it's, check that, 0-58. Now they're 1-58. So you made some history happen. It was very same old Texans and also very same old Texans, Sean Mapes, for the Houston Texans Instagram account to post a highlight of Cam Johnson's punt with the caption, "Are you kidding, Cam Johnston? This 74-yard punt is the longest punt in Texans history." I'm sorry, even if it's an impressive punt, you can't post a highlight of a punt that you've punted. Somebody else has to post the highlight of that. You can't flex about your punt.
I disagree. I think you have to hold on to that highlight. If they win, you can post it. If they lose, in the trash bin forever. You cannot both lose a game and post a record-breaking punt. I'm sorry. You have to win the game, because then you can go, well, you know, Cam Johnson, the hidden yardage of special teams, he really flipped the field for them and helped them win this game 16-15, which, by the way, welcome to the Big Ten West, Houston Texans.
It's very Iowa.
At least Iowa wins.
Very Iowa with two Iowa, great like rookie quarterbacks. And you're right, Iowa does win. They do win. They get defensive scores. Often their defense and special teams outscores the actual offense. But to bring it back to the Texans, it's very same old Texans, and the biggest highlight in this game is a 74-yard punt. Like, it's just so...
by someone who looks like Bill Burr.
It's so on the nose.
The biggest highlight for the Texans came from a Bill Burr lookalike. A guy who doesn't really have to dress up to go as Bill Burr for Halloween.
I know. He really just...
he just wears jeans and like a button-down shirt. Boom. Bill Burr.
Some commenters are saying, though, they're with me, you can't post the highlight of a punt, Sean.
You can do it if you win.
Even if you win, you can't do it.
No,
you're just asking. Listen, they're the same old Texans for a reason. You're just asking to get made fun of if you post the highlight of this.
Same old Texans if they win.
Sean, somebody else can post this. You can't. Pat McAfee Show, they can post it. The NFL account, they can post it. You can't post this. This would be akin to me posting a picture on Instagram with a girl that I know, but not someone I'm dating. This would be the same thing. Unless it's somebody that I've known for a really long time, it would be the same thing. It's not, you can't post it. You can't do it.
Not sure. I'm not sure if I agree with that, the Instagram
comment. If it's your mom, sure. If it's a sister or a friend, sure.
I'm saying you have to win. So if it is a person that, whatever winning is in a relationship to you, if you do that, you can post it.
You could repost this. You can't post it. Repost?
Share it on the story?
Sure. Yeah, share it on this. You could share this on the story.
That, you know what? If the Texans, also you can't do it in the middle of the loss. Own goal.
No, you can't.
Soccer term. I think if they would have posted it like today or tomorrow as a story, I think you don't catch as much heat. Also, because I don't think you can see the comments on a story, or at least we can't.
Yeah, you're right. You can't see the comments on a story. You can see the comments on this. And as you would expect, they're rather mean. It's on the Texans Instagram account if you want to see it. They have to know better. They have to know better.
Same old Texans Instagram. Just walking into cell phones.
Same old Texans social media. Remember the fear of sellout BS that they had in week one?
Yeah, I remember
that.
Just
stop. By the way, while we're on the internet, I'm going to shift away from the Texans.
What a segue. While we're on the internet.
You know what?
Speaking of the internet. You know
what? Kiss my ass, number one. Number two. So someone said on the Twitch, hey, can we not talk sports today? Another texter said the same thing. No one wants to talk sports. Okay, how about this? How about Houston Astrodome ideas? Because I was on the internet, and guess what
oh
I saw
God.
Again, Sean? I saw another proposal to do something to the Astrodome.
We've already talked about the Houston freaking Oilers and the Tennessee Titans having those uniforms. Now we're doing Houston. Now we're doing Astrodome talk.
Like, Throwback Monday.
What are we doing? We mentioned Bill O'Brien like four times.
Listen, same old Texans means that we got to talk about.
Oh
the,
my god!
We got to talk about the eyesore.
Is
next
this July 28th? Why are we talking about
article, this? Article from Jonathan Limehouse of the Houston Chronicle, October 28th of 2023. Title, Architecture Contest Reimagines Future of Houston Astrodome, Breathing New Life into Iconic Stadium.
Alfonso Hernandez recalled growing up in a little town in Venezuela with a population of about 500,000 people.
Wait, what?
Did you miss a comma there?
Nope, that is the opening sentence.
And that's, wow, okay.
But still knowing what the Astrodome was due to seeing so many monumental moments on TV. So he grew up in a small town of 500,000 people, but he knows what the Astrodome was like. What a young Hernandez may not have seen coming is having a chance with other architects to re-envision the Astrodome 15 years after the former Astros and Oilers stadium closed. It's a big piece of history. It's a big deal.
So guess what they're going to turn it into? They're not turning it into a convention center. They're going to turn it into essentially like a giant greenhouse. Can we stop? I get it.
Like, ooh, carbon emissions are bad. We're going to cut down on net carbon emissions around NRG Stadium.
But legitimately, this is worse than any idea that Ed Emmett, who made this thing a historical landmine, had.
Boob.
They're just, he is a boob. He called in once when I said that, and he actually was very nice, and I have a lot of respect for him actually calling in then. He called right on the spot, and we talked. We had a nice conversation. He's still a boob for his obsession, but guess what? The boob won. The boob won. He got it to be a historical landmark. Like, that was his exit move. And you look at what this proposal is, it's so dumb. What are we doing?
Rendering of a botanical garden that would be incorporated in a cleaner and more energy-efficient Astrodome.
You know what's more energy-efficient? Destroying it. Destroy! Boom! 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 Destroy! Avada Kedavra! Kill it! Kill it with fire! Just get rid of it! What? I feel like this happens once a year. There's a post online about, like, we could do this with the Astrodome. Can we effing stop? What are we doing?
That's why when you said there's a group of architects with the plan to, and I'm like, what are they doing? I'm not even saying that they like that a greenhouse is like a bad idea. It's just none of this is gonna happen. So like,
it's
what
not
are we
gonna
talking,
happen.
What are we
I
talking
agree.
About?
But guess what? It's gonna be an indoor public street. There's going to be a botanical garden, 77,000 square feet for retail space, a 500-room hotel, a promenade that connects to the light rail, and 68,000 square foot immersive museum to show and recreate the stadium's 50 plus years of history. I'm sure this won't cost any money.
Yeah.
This will cost $3.
And also, they
continue saying this stadium was used as a shelter to protect people during Hurricane Katrina. I think it was an incredible move. Well, yeah, out of necessity, but I mean, it's a dump. What are we doing? Why is there something like this every year? It could be this. It could be that. Yeah, it could also be a Thunderdome for Bloodsport. We could all watch pay-per-view of a bunch of people killing each other inside Battle Royale style inside this building. Guess what? It's never going to happen. We may as well just get rid of the whole damn thing. Oh, wait, we can't because it's a historical landmark. But I'm sorry I brought this up, Sean, on a day where no one wants to talk about sports. But I think people care more about me getting mad about this. Because guess what? I'm not talking about the same old Texans here. I'm getting mad about something that we all think is stupid. What are we doing? Just destroy that wart. It looks like a herpes. Can we be honest? Next to NRG Stadium, which also it hasn't aged great. And yet it's just here, and let's come up with another proposal every year. And it's always some lame green BS. Stop. We done? We're done.
Sure. it's going to be a museum. It's going to be this. It's going to be that.
It's going to be a roller park.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good idea.
We're going to put a roller coaster inside. Astroworld inside the Astrodome.
I'm to the point where it's like, yeah, whatever idea, knock yourself out. I know it's not gonna happen. Who cares?
It's crazy. We do this so much. Just burn it with fire. Purge it. Purge it the same way the Death Eaters wanted to purge the Muggles. Damn, that sounded a little loaded, a little sensitive. I'm dressed as Draco Malfoy, guys.
Yeah.
I'm dressed as Draco Malfoy. Potter. It's the Pogalot Show. Stick around. Let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. You know what makes me want a nice glass of Pendleton Whiskey anytime I bring up the Astrodome? Seriously. That's the first thing I think about when I think about the Astrodome is that, you know what? I want to have something that's refreshing, that's not too sweet. The original Pendleton whiskey is my go-to whiskey. I really enjoy it. It's cut with Mount Hood Glacier water, finest northern grains as well. This is really good stuff. And look, when you talk about the Astrodome, sometimes you get a little stressed out. Well, this is a great way to de-stress yourself at the end of a long week. Put your cowboy boots on. In a drinking sense, it's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give it the ball.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
They didn't really do much other than just kind of taking away the short stuff and not rushing and jumping down, knocking balls down. And we got to be better and taking advantage of that and try to push the ball down the field some more. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like we match up against them well. I mean, we knew that they were a good team overall. But for us, I mean, I don't really think that they did anything that stopped us. We kind of stopped ourselves. But, I mean, they made plays when we didn't. So, I mean, more power to them. Respect to those guys.
I mean, you can't say that. They did beat you. We beat ourselves? No, they beat you. A winless team beat you. I hate that. They were better than you on this game, and that was a winless team going into the week. And it's a shame because you were at least hanging around in the AFC South. But now, on the same day where Will Levis, in his first ever start, wearing Houston Oilers uniforms, throws for four touchdowns, something that Stroud has yet to be able to do, the Texans' offense was probably the worst it's been. You can criticize Bobby Slowick. I don't think Slowick's the main reason for it. I think largely the offensive line was the big problem. That offensive line is not getting better anytime soon with Jarrett Patterson now injured and looking like he's done for the year. He got carted off the field after a brutal ankle injury. But Titus Howard at guard, the guy can't do pull blocks. Shaq Mason is running downfield on passes. And the Texans running backs have to do ridiculous highlights, which they did a couple of yesterday. They had a couple of nice plays, nice runs. Everyone had at least one move where they made a defender look silly. But they have to do it because the offensive line in front of them wasn't doing anything. So how do you do shot plays downfield when the running game isn't working? And how do you do shot plays downfield when the team is very content, the Panthers, and just dropping a bunch of guys back in coverage? Stroud said that he would like to see the team be more explosive and throw the football down the field a little bit more. I do think that's a rather simplistic way of looking at things. Anyway, but here we are. We're in a spot where I think we don't really want to talk about sports, do we, huh? Like the World Series, the Rangers are in it. Either the Diamondbacks win and you think to yourself, the Astros could have won the World Series, or the Rangers win, and you think to yourself, the Rangers beat the Astros and then won the World Series. Their first ever World Series. The Rockets got shelled. The Cougs got shelled. Ugh. Yeah, it's just not a good day. Not a good day, unless you're the fan of this team. Sean, can you give me another? I guess they're Houston Blue? Orange and black,
Raven Black, to be specific. Can you give me a un Espanol call of the Houston Dynamo scoring a goal against Real Salt Lake in yesterday's MLS playoffs?
Domina la pelota, la pincha hacia el área para Carraquilla, la baja bien de cabeza, la tiene Herrera, pecho de fina, le pegó de zurda, gol. Gol de Houston, lo hizo el capitán, lo hizo el doctor Herrera. Decía que la acomodaba y definía, no titubeó el mexicano, hizo explotar el estadio, gana el local 1-0.
Wildcatter Orange, Space City Blue, Raven Black. Those are the colors of Houston today because the Dynamo took down, I can't do the rolled R's, Salt Lake yesterday, 2-1. I think we should be the first to jump on the bandwagon. Should this be the first all-Dynamo show in Houston sports talk, seeing as all the other sports are terrible right now? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a different kind of football time in Houston. Maybe, I don't know, we need an anthem. Something that Clay Walker would be proud of. Wait a second. Well, he's from Vida. We don't know if he'd be proud of this. But my tribute to the Houston Dynamo, a new song. We're about to do it live right here. It's football time in Houston.
Do you want to go? Do you want to start? Okay, tell me when to start.
Sorry. Could you please give me a little Clay?
You just kept going. I was like, when does he want me to start?
All right, right now. Here we go, guys. You ready? Bueno, finalmente está aquí. He estado esperando toda la semana. Solo para empezar esto, he estado. Valencia Dome, on el borde de mi asiento. Ahora estoy listo para rodar. Aquí vienen a mezclar la cosa. Apuesta a que tus botas son lo suficientemente resistente. Preparamos para apoyar a nuestro equipo. Todos ustedes los tejanos, levántense y griten. Es tiempo de fútbol en Houston. Hombre, estamos listos para jugar. No tenemos tiempo que perder ahora. Estará y azul. Bienvenidos a la ciudad más grande de todas. Houston, Texas, está listo para jugar a fútbol. Sean looks very dismayed with what we just did to the radio. Come on.
That was certainly a song.
Es fútbol tiempo on Houston. Why is no one excited about the Dynamo? I don't get it.
You know, it is. I learned this. It's game one, or last night was game one of a three-game series in the first round. I didn't know they did three-game series.
I didn't either. What are we doing?
I thought they did just two games. You win on aggregate.
I'm already confused by MLS playoffs because, yeah, that's what I thought. So it's best of three, but it's also on aggregate?
No, it's just best of three.
Why don't they just play one game? Like it's the World Cup.
I don't know. I think they do that later. I think the final is just a one.
It's very... So they try to copy Europe. Obviously, Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, but then they just have playoffs. Like, but like then they have American team.
It's like the NBA playoffs.
But to be fair, though, the playoffs rock. Playoffs are just better. I mean, imagine if, like, baseball, they just, like, counted up wins. And they're like, you know what? Congratulations, Atlanta Braves. You're the World Series champion. So it's like, it is good that they have playoffs, but still.
Bro. This is all we got. This is all we got. The Houston Dynamo got to hold us down.
Yeah. Shout to Hector Herrera.
I can't do the rolled R's. I can't do it. Can you try?
Hector Herrera.
Oh, that was awesome, yeah, dude.
It's not that hard.
It's hard for me.
Yeah. Malfoy. Draco Malfoy. I don't think Draco Malfoy could roll his R's. By the way, Paul is dressed as Draco Malfoy.
I'm dressed as Draco Malfoy. But, Sean.
I'm dressed as a guy who can roll his R's.
No one ask your opinion, you filthy little mud blood. Red hair and a hand-me-down robe? You must be a Weasley.
Hand-me-down robe, please.
You'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort. I can help with you there.
Are these just Draco Malfoy quotes?
I'm just reading Draco Malfoy quotes. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some final thoughts on a very disappointing same old Texans 15-13 loss to the formerly winless Carolina Panthers on the other side. And in garbage time, everybody just makes mistakes, guys. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being your trail donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Several things to point out in the Texans' 15-13 loss to the Panthers yesterday. I really think that they forgot that Kyeemi Fairbairn is capable of kicking long field goals. That delay of game right before is on CJ Stroud as much as it's on the head coach, as much as it's also on the offensive coordinator. The defense did its job. They had a goal line stand, 6 sacks. 9 tackles for a loss. Blake Cashman and Denzel Perriman in the middle of that defense actually looking really good out there. So, ultimately, there's only a couple of people to point the finger at. It's CJ Stroud and a Texans offense that kept on shooting itself in the foot, whether due to the offensive line, putting itself behind the eight ball, putting itself in long situations. Some would argue not throwing the football downfield was a factor here, but I'm pointing at Stroud for that delay of game. I'm pointing at Stroud because it does feel like he's hit a bit of a rookie wall. I'll point at Bobby Slowick to an extent for not being able to break out of that slump that this offense is in, considering he had 2 weeks to prepare for this game against a winless Carolina Panthers team. But ultimately, it's just same old Texans at the end of the day. And I get why there are so many people that are checked out, have apathy towards this team. It makes it suck on a Monday. There's a football team, an NFL team in this city, and people just shrug their shoulders at it. For good reason. It's because games like this happen a lot. Just when you feel like you're getting excited about this team, this happens. And it's a shame for these players, Stroud, Will Anderson, coaches, D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick, because I do think this is better than in years past, but how do you not blend it all together? They're all wearing the same uniforms. They're all doing the same things as the predecessors in the uniforms. So Sunday, they play Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, another team that's about on the same level as them. What's going to happen? You can't say it's going to be a win. Couldn't say a game against a winless team going into it was going to be a win. That's just who they are right now. It stinks. I do think that this season will be more watchable than last year. Really low bar to clear there. But when on the same day, the team that used to have the coolest uniforms in sports, the Tennessee Titans, are wearing the Houston Oilers uniforms, and Will Levis is throwing 3 deep touchdown passes to DeAndre Hopkins, it makes it hurt even more. The fact that this is the team that you have, and it's been 20 years plus of this. Here we are.
Yeah, and on Friday we disagreed because I said this is a game that they should win, and you said there are no games that this team should win, and it was the rare situation where you were the one that is lower on the Texans. Normally, I'm the ultimate pessimist when it comes to the Texans. And you're right. Although I was kind of right. They should win this game. This is a game they should win. They didn't, but they should.
Yeah.
Like you said, just something about that this team, this franchise, last 20 years, they do this. Any morsel of hope, any little roll that they go on where you're like, wow, things are looking up. No, give it all back.
Got to give it all back.
Yeah.
By the way, this has been quite the day for just Kramer entrances in studio or in the producer room. Like, can we just lock the doors? Can we lock the doors? This is getting ridiculous. This is the fourth time today. Can people stop coming into the effing studio? I love Lance. What the hell, though? When added to that other guy who's like randomly like having pillow talk with some person on FaceTime trying to get a peep of me in my Draco Malfoy costume, close the door after you walk down the hallway, you son of a bitch. Like, Jesus.
I don't know. Do other show this?
We are the only show that deals with this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
This is our burden. The two-person show, and people are like, oh, yeah, I could come in studio and talk to the producer and just hang around there. Or, oh, I could come into the studio in the middle of a segment and then leave. You're looking for something. Can we stop with this? I need a lock. I need a lock for that damn door.
There's a break in 6 minutes.
That's
five
what
minutes.
I mean. Wait. Like, I would wait. I'm not that kind of person.
It's already been almost 2 hours, Lance. Whatever you're looking for,
seriously,
you can wait 5 minutes.
Seriously, you can't wait six more minutes? Good God. Lock that door. There is a lock on the door, isn't there? There's a lock on the door.
Oh, there's not one on this one.
This door is going to be locked from here on out. You can't stop what I'm about to say. Tomorrow, all Astrodome takes, baby.
Oh, no.
Entirely because people kept opening the door.
I can still stop what you say. I can just turn off the mic.
No, that's true. You have ultimate power here.
We'll go to Greeny if once we start talking too much.
Oh, yikes.
Astrodome.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, a couple of comments. That's just football, Pauly. Thanks for that.
That is football. You know what? That is an any given Sunday. God, what a league.
It's just growing pains of a good team.
Just parody, you know? Those guys are professionals, too.
Oh, God. Let's get to garbage time.
I'm only happy when I'm
garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Guys, everybody makes mistakes. It's my favorite excuse that I would see made by listeners when I would talk about an athlete who did something violent. Everybody makes mistakes. And in 2023, that is actually an acceptable defense for sucker punching somebody for social media attention. You see this story? A Texas teenager admitted to randomly punching an unsuspecting victim. Check that. Punching unsuspecting victims in public for social media attention, claiming, quote, he just made a mistake. Alfred Lewis, 19, was captured on video walking on a trail at Wortham Park in Houston, attacking at least two people as they enjoyed their day at the park. He's come clean about his wrongdoings, saying, you know, I just made a mistake. And everybody makes mistakes. This is getting ridiculous. The amount of stuff that you can say, I just made a mistake. Yeah, I accidentally killed somebody. I just made a mistake. Yeah, I just punched two people because I wanted to go viral on TikTok. I just made a mistake.
It is funny because in this article, it just says social media, social media, social media, until you scroll down all the way to the bottom, and yep, it's for YouTube and TikTok. Literally, like, the ones you would guess it's for,
yep.
It's like, yeah, no, it's because it's the lowest common denominator of what a prank can be. Like, we've really come a long way in the prank game where it used to be like some setups with your friends where it's something little. You wake them up, you draw something, you know, just little simple things, to now it's like punch strangers. Isn't this funny?
Lewis shared he committed the outrageous string of attacks to get likes and views for YouTube and TikTok, saying, "I really didn't expect for it to go so left, you know?"
What?
None of the victims even fight back. They seem more startled. Lewis said the video only highlights the bad part of his actions and does not show what happens after. What people don't see is that I shook his hand after and gave the man a hug. This is a real story.
I thought you were going to say $100, and I was like,
nope.
That might be worth it.
This is a real story. And Lewis is giving advice now. Before you go out and do anything you feel is bad or that could look bad, make sure, like, people know.
Like, yeah. Also,
or just don't do it at all, he advised afterwards.
Dude, also, like, him being like, you know, they only see the bad stuff in this video. You make the video! If it's that important to show the hug afterwards, you're the one who edits it, bro. Like, also, you said he's 19. A little too old to be doing this.
Way too old for this.
If this was like a 15-year-old, 16-year-old thing, it's still bad. But like, you're still in high school. This kid's 19 years old.
Everybody makes mistakes.
This kid can vote. And he's like, yeah, for whatever reason, when you punch people in the face walking down the street, they get really mad.
Because everyone makes mistakes. People don't understand that everyone makes mistakes. I'm going to read a headline, Sean.
Okay.
You have to make a real quick guess before we get out.
Okay.
Dog bites kid at Aldine ISD bus stop. Gets on bus and attacks driver. Can you guess the breed?
Chihuahua.
That made me laugh.
Yorkie. Yorkshire Terrier.
Nope. It was...
Pug?
A male pit bull.
Aw, what?
According to Harris County Animal Control, the male pit bull reportedly bit two children and the bus driver. The dog had already been confined by its owners by the time they got there. The owner said the dog isn't vicious. Well, we knew that was coming from a pit bull owner.
It's not you know,
Jesus.
People and dogs make mistakes.
That's true. Dogs make mistakes. Dogs, too.
People never say that dogs make mistakes. Dogs arguably make more mistakes than people do.
Goodness gracious. Anyway, on that note, that's going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our texters, our Twitchers, and our callers. No thank you to everybody who kept opening the door to the effing studio. I'm locking it from here on out. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.